This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For those who are visiting with us or maybe haven't been with us in a little while, this is a new practice we are doing at the beginning of worship to greet one another in the house of God. So these are words from a psalm, and I say, this is the day the Lord has made, and everyone responds, let us rejoice and be glad in it. So come back next week and we'll do it all over again. It is my joy to welcome you to this time of worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us online, we know that the Spirit of Christ connects us as we worship, and I'm grateful to be with you. I would ask you to take a moment, if you would, to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, we have registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and sign in, and online there should be a link right there on your screen you can put in your browser to sign in. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, I would encourage you to share an email address with us or a mailing address or phone number. And that will allow us to reach out to you and begin some conversation around how we can live out God's love together in our community. Christmas Eve is just around the corner. A lot of excited children in church this morning. And we have a slightly new schedule. We're adding another service this year. So as a reminder, we have a 3 o'clock service that is child-led and especially friendly for children. And then there's a 5 o'clock service, that's the new one, and then a 10 o'clock service. And both of those services will involve a communion and a sermon and singing and candle lighting. So we hope that you will invite your friends and neighbors and help share the good news of Christ's birth at one of those times. Next Sunday, we will only have one service, that will be at 10 a.m. There will not be Sunday school or children's church, but there will be childcare for two and under during the worship service. And our own Reverend Ketty Cox, who worships with us every Sunday, will be preaching on Sunday. So I look forward to hearing from her. And then just mark your calendars on January 5th. We will have our Teze service of worship and walking the labyrinth. It will be upstairs in the fourth story theater at 5:30. Throughout this season of Advent, we have been listening to messages of the prophets, the Hebrew prophets of old. And this morning we hear from the prophet Mary and what she proclaims upon learning of the role that God has called her to fulfill for the saving of the world. So let us open our hearts and minds in this time of worship.
We light this fourth candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of love for the coming of Christ into our world. Now hear these words from the book of Micah. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace.
Thank you. Friends, I invite you to join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Like a faithful shepherd, God gathers us into the shelter of love. We trust in God's provision and will not be afraid. As dawn bursts the day with brilliant beams of light, we will lean into God's resurrecting power to bring new life into and through us. Indeed, God rejoices over us with the exuberance of a dancing choir lost in the music. May we join the divine and lift every voice to sing, trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting. Let us confess our sins before God and one another with the assurance of God's pardoning love. Comforting God, the world's worries, life's challenges, and the anxieties of the present day so often consume us and steal our joy. We confess that frequently, in seeking to create shelter and security, our response is to look for help beyond you and the loving hands of each other. By your Spirit, forgive us our sins, open our lives to share and receive gifts of grace, and ground us in the peace that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds safe in Christ alone. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of peace and reconciliation. Peace of Christ be with you all. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. And this morning, Chad and Jordan Garrett bring their son before God and this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. So Chad and Jordan, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your son forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will.
We will.
And now, my friends in the congregation, it is our turn to reaffirm both our rejection of sin and our commitment to Christ. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And that was good. That was emphatic. That's important. Yes, we say it like we mean it. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through the water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name have you given your son?
Grayson Wyatt.
Grayson Wyatt. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you. Oh, that got a smile. And Christ, the Son who redeems you. And the Holy Spirit who will live within you and work within you all the days of your life. Amen. All right, Grayson White, we're going to move a little closer to Mommy and Daddy, invite you to place a hand on him, and Pastor Shannon, too, and we're all going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Grayson Wyatt, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Mr. Grayson. We're going to go for a little walk here because everybody needs to see your beautiful smile. These are the folks who are your church family. Now, right behind me that you're looking at is the choir. They're wonderful. They're here every Sunday, and their beautiful voices are going to lead you in worship. And then over this way are all these other beautiful people who already love you so much, and they are about to make a promise to do everything they can to help you grow up in the faith and to know how much God loves you. Some of them may teach you Sunday school or vacation Bible school. One of them might be your confirmation mentor. And they're going to learn from you, too. And all the time, we're going to be looking for ways to work together with you to share God's love with the world. So let's listen as they rise in body or spirit and make their promises to you.
Friends, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ, Grayson Wyatt. Members of the household of God, I commend Grayson Wyatt to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, to confirm his hope, and to perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Grayson Wyatt, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you and the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministry of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your hope to come into the world. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 831 in your pew Bible or page 202 in the story Bible. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
children to be making your way forward for just a moment together, just a few days before Christmas. You've got a West End t-shirt on. I love it. Good morning. Good to see everybody. Have a seat here, Dex. This is for me. Thank you, Penelope. I'll look forward to reading that. Thank you very much. How many of you have a baby sister or brother? Anybody have a baby sister or brother? Yeah, a few of you. Well, I think all of you just saw little baby Grayson, right, that we baptized, and we walked him down the aisle, and you may have noticed how little he was. Well, little babies need a lot of help. They need people to help them with everything. Babies need to be fed. They can't lift up spoons and forks or feed themselves. They need somebody to help them dress. They need somebody to change their diapers. And they need somebody to rock them and hold them and help them feel safe and go to sleep. And as we think about Christmas, we're about to celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? What day is Christmas this week, do you know? Wednesday, that's right. It's almost here. And Jesus came into the world as a little bitty baby, just like little baby Grayson. And he needed somebody to hold him, and he needed people to feed him and dress him and take care of him. And this morning, we're talking about Mary, Jesus' mother. And I just found myself feeling really grateful for Mary and for Joseph, who gave so much of their lives to loving Jesus and taking care of every need so that he could be safe and grow up strong and grow up in a loving household. So today, will you join me in saying a prayer, and let's say thanks to God for Mary. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, you love us so much that you came into the world to be with us. And you came as a little bitty baby, totally dependent on your parents and other people to care for baby Jesus. So we thank you today for Mary and for Joseph, who gave so much of their love to baby Jesus and helped him grow up to save the world. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, be sure and say thank you to the people who take care of you in your lives. And 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church. I have to begin this morning with a confession. This is a hard sermon for me to pull together. This is one of those sermons that I just wrestled with and had a hard time getting it together. If you know, a little bit of inside scoop on how I do my sermons typically. I usually spend some time on Monday mornings reading the text, praying about it, just opening myself to whatever God might lift from the text that I think might connect with where we are as a congregation. Then on Tuesday morning, we have a Bible study here at the church and on Zoom, if you ever want to join us. And we just look at the text for Sunday, and I hear what other people are hearing in the story, and it always is a tremendous help as I work on my own message. And then I let it stew, and I pray, and I think. And then on Friday afternoon, after lunch, I leave the office, and I go somewhere, and I walk. And I start talking and composing my sermon. So if you ever see me somewhere out in public on a Friday afternoon and I look like I'm talking to myself, you'll know I'm doing this for all of us. I'm working on a sermon. Well, this past Friday, I went to McCabe Park just over this way. I started my walk and I thought I knew what I wanted to say. I thought I knew what the point of my sermon was going to be. But it didn't quite land. So where I wanted to land, where I wanted to start, was with this idea that Mary is a prophet. And I believe that is true. In our sermon series during Advent, we've been listening to the voices of some of the ancient Hebrew prophets as they spoke a word of truth to their people, a word that we read with hope as we anticipate the birth of Christ and the coming again of Christ into the world. But here on this Sunday, we hear the voice of Mary. And when we think of the prophets of Israel, these are people who stood up at a particular moment in history and spoke a word of truth, spoke the word of the Lord, proclaimed what God was up to in the world in that moment. And that's exactly what Mary does in this Magnificat, this song that she sings or that she speaks out loud. She is proclaiming to the world that God, through this choice of her to bear the Christ child into the world, is turning everything upside down. The announcement of this great reversal, that God is lifting up the lowly and bringing down the mighty, that God is scattering the proud in the imagination of their hearts, that God is filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty. And in this way, she's very much in line with the prophets of old. How often have we heard the prophets crying out against the people of Israel because they have forgotten the poor, the widow, and the orphan? This announcement that God's favor looks upon those who are most broken, most invisible, most in need. And so Mary proclaims that this is what God is up to in this moment as he is about to be born into the world. And so I really wanted to emphasize that Mary is a prophet. And you can probably tell by my sermon title, I wanted to play around a little bit with that Christmas song that everyone loves so much and that I love. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know? This beautiful, touching song that ends with, did you know that you were holding in your arms the great I am? And I wanted to say, yeah, she kind of did know. There were some things she didn't know. I don't think she knew that Jesus would one day walk on water or that he would feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of fish, a few loaves of bread and a few fish. I don't think she knew he would stir up the kind of controversy he did or that there would be people who hated him so much that they would bring him before the Roman authorities. I'm not sure she knew he would be executed by the empire. I'm not even sure she knew that he would rise again from the dead. But she knew that her baby boy was the great I am. And she knew that his birth in the world was part of God's great plan of salvation for the whole universe. And she pronounces that word in her Magnificat. So yes, Mary is a prophet. But as I got to that last turn at McCabe and I was heading toward the end of my route, I just was unsettled. It wasn't, usually it just sort of falls into place. It wasn't falling into place, and I felt the Spirit just churning in me like, you're not done yet, you're not done yet. And I thought and prayed, well, I'm pretty cold and my walk is over, so I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive home and I'm just going to trust that you'll show me the way. So I got in the car, and I put on my Spotify playlist of Christmas choral music, and the first song that plays is a song called Dormi Jesu. That's not the John Rutter one. It's the Kim Andre Arnonson. Yes, thank you. I told someone wrong after the 8:45 service, so if you want to download it on Spotify, Dormi Jesu, it's a lullaby sung in the voice of Mary. And suddenly I was taken into this profound truth that, yes, Mary was a prophet, and she was also the mother of Jesus. No one else had that role, just her. Just she and Joseph were given the privilege and the task of caring for this little bitty baby who was the Son of God. And it was Mary and Joseph who rocked that child to sleep, who got up at every hour of the night. It was Mary who fed him. It was they who nurtured him and kept him safe and healthy. It was they who took him to Egypt when the political powers of Herod were threatening his life, taking their own lives and putting them at risk. And I thought about those intimate, quiet moments of love and devotion that Mary must have experienced. The way that she was able to love God is profound. And I don't want to miss that. I don't want to forget what she was called to be and to do. But of course, we all know the day came when Mary had to let Jesus go. That part of her love and devotion to her God, and part of her commitment to this vision of what God was doing in the world, in and through all people, she had to let Jesus go. She had to let Jesus be Jesus. She had to let him walk out the door of their home. She had to watch as he preached his first sermon in their hometown synagogue in Nazareth and got dragged and almost thrown over a cliff because they were so offended by what he said. She had to watch as the Pharisees and the elders, whom she had always respected and seen as authorities in her life, turned against her son. She had to watch as he went into the temple and turned over the tables. She had to watch as all of the throngs of the poor and the lost and the tax collectors and the prostitutes circled around him. I don't know if she understood all that was going on, but she had to let Jesus be Jesus. She had to let him go into all of those places on the margins where the poor and the invisible and the outcast and the widow and the orphan were to bring the good news to them. And she had to watch when he got condemned by Pontius Pilate. She had to watch him die on a cross. Her love for him and her love for God was deep enough for her to let him be who he was. We don't see a whole lot of Mary once Jesus becomes an adult. She shows up here and there in various gospels. This morning we heard from Luke's gospel, and we know that she appears one more time in Luke's telling of the story. And it's not until the book of Acts. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and it's sort of the story of the Holy Spirit beyond Jesus' resurrection. But lo and behold, we find Mary gathered with 120 of other disciples of Jesus after the resurrection. So she now knows that Jesus has overcome death and has risen from the dead. He's now ascended into heaven, and she's gathered with all the other disciples on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came pouring out on all of them. And I just want to know, what language did Mary get to speak? And where did the Spirit send her? Maybe back to Nazareth, but maybe somewhere else. We don't know. But we do know that by that point in her life, she has moved from being a mother of Jesus to following on the sidelines to a disciple. And I wonder about us and what we might be able to learn from Mary. I love the Christmas story and thinking about God in the form of a little baby. But as followers of Jesus, we have to let Jesus grow up. We have to let him go. We have to let Jesus be Jesus. And we have to let him lead us into places we may not want to go, on the margins, alongside folks we may not want to be with. We don't know where Jesus will take us. But I pray we can have the faith and courage of Mary to keep showing up where he is and allow his love to transform us. We don't need to defend Jesus. We don't need to bring the Christ back in Christmas. Christ is already set loose in the world and way out in front of us. Our job is to listen and to follow. Mary, did you know? I don't think she knew everything, but she knew enough. Do we? And will we follow?
spoken and shared with us today. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me in professing our faith with the affirmation of faith as printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our time of prayer, I want to remind us all that God hears our prayers however we share them, whether we speak them aloud or share them from our hearts. If you'd like to share your prayer concerns with the pastoral team to be prayed for, I invite you to take one of the pew cards that's in the prayer rack in front of you. You're welcome to fill that out and then put it in the offering plate as it is passed. You can also go to our church website and click the Contact Us and leave us a prayer request, and we'd be glad to share that. Please take note of the prayer requests that are in your bulletin, and I encourage you to take those and let those be a part of your personal prayer time as you lift up our congregation and the people around our community. We want to lift up a few concerns from our family. We lift up Pat and Stephanie Brakefield and their family as they mourn the death of their granddaughter, Bobby Grace Brakefield, who passed away on December 14th in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We want to remember Marshall Ballard and his family as they mourn the death of his sister, Lane Lynn Bethel, who passed away on December 16th in Paris, Texas. A service of remembrance is planned for January. And then we lift up Kimberly Pace Furse and her family as they mourn the death of her husband, David Furse, who passed away on Wednesday, December 18th. Service plans are pending. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, today as we hear from your saint and prophet Mary, we mirror her words. Our soul magnifies your name. For it is you that brings peace and joy into the world. We give thanks that in the midst of difficulty and strife, your promises are never ending. Regardless of the situation, when we put our trust in you, our hearts are warmed, and the evidence of your overwhelming grace in our lives is revealed. Let us remember that trust is oxygen to our faith. And during this Advent season, may that trust grow in leaps and bounds as we await another revelation of your love through the life of Jesus Christ. May our hearts jump for joy as you draw near. We have come to know that to truly trust in you, we must release our control, release our designs into your hands. And so as we gather in prayer today, we take that risk. We turn towards you with our hands outstretched and ask that you take the situations that we feel powerless in. Take those things that weigh us down, those places that put our heart on edge. Our hope in offering them to you is to simply experience your peace, to experience your presence. This world we live in is not as it is in heaven, and yet we know you have come here and offered yourself to us so that we may catch a glimpse of your kingdom. And so as we sit in silence for just this moment, may we know the power of your love and comfort in a fresh and life-giving way. giving thanks for your grace. We now pray in unison that prayer that you taught us through Jesus Christ, the incarnation of your love and mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us now to gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. You may also use the QR code that's in your bulletin or put your offering in the plate as it is passed. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another and respond in gratitude, may we remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
The one who is coming into the world is to be worshiped and loved and followed. Let us go where he leads us, wherever that may be. Let us follow the example of Mary and the other saints who have gone before us. And in so doing, let us know peace and joy.